Champ as well. Website 1700thechamp.com. I will get all the podcasts up and ready to go this weekend, so they're all set and ready. Just talking about next week, I am in on Monday and Wednesday. Tuesday, we have UNI basketball. They're out in a tournament. And Thursday, Friday is Thanksgiving already. Before you know it, it's going to be Christmas. Crazy times. What do we have? We have UNI South Dakota tomorrow. We also have USC UCLA tomorrow. South Dakota UNI is at noon. USC UCLA 6:30 pregame. Sunday we have Browns, Bills, Cowboys, Vikings, Chiefs, Chargers. Monday we have UNI and San Francisco. That's a Monday morning game. That'll be kind of cool. And then you have the 49ers Cardinals in Mexico City at 6:30. That's our Monday night football game. This segment will be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot and ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Their urgent injury clinics, no appointments needed. You can look up wait times online at dmos.com. West Des Moines hours are Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Ankeny's hours are Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. So that's Ankeny opens up a little earlier, closes a little earlier, and West Des Moines opens a little later, stays open a little later. So that's always nice. The difference between urgent care, DMOS urgent injury clinics in emergency rooms, is the severity of the health problem. If it's life-threatening, bone sticking out, bleeding, you can go to the emergency room. If not, if it's a sprained ankle, a sprained knee, a sprained shoulder, elbow, wrist, go check these DMOS urgent injury clinics out. They have people that deal directly with those type of injuries. It's a good thing. Also new to DMOS is Engineered Performance by DMOS, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa. Had all these guys in-house along with Iowa Wolves. Had a blast. The Engineered Performance by DMOS is 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway in Ankeny, Iowa. And they also have a location in Huxley. So there you go. That takes care. That's Des Moines Orthopedic, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Okay. So I was going through. We have to do this. I mean, I have to talk about the Iowa Hawkeyes and Iowa State. And I'm okay with that. Let me hit schedule here. The Iowa Hawkeyes are playing the Minnesota team. They're playing up in Minnesota. It is not going to be, I mean, it's going to be below zero. Wind chill is going to be below zero. They play at 3:00. It's a big game. I mean, seriously, it is a big game. The Iowa Hawkeyes they've had three wins in a row. They beat Northwestern, they beat Purdue, they beat Wisconsin, they have Minnesota, they have Nebraska. They have a chance. They have a chance to win the West because Illinois has to play Michigan still. I mean, that's a loss on tomorrow. Iowa just needs to win this game. And it's kind of funny, and I get it. And I'm trying to protect Iowa State. I'm trying to protect Iowa too, but I've got to take it back just a step. I mean, I saw just a little blurb from Kirk Ferentz. Hey, we just kept our head down and we just kept going and we've turned this thing around. I don't know how you can stand in front of people and say that. The defense has been great all year. They didn't turn anything around. They've been outstanding, unbelievable, number one in the country, kept them in every single game except for the Ohio State game. these three wins aren't coming because you have things turned around. They're coming because you're playing teams that you're better than. I mean, whatever that was that Wisconsin was putting on an offensive side of the ball, I have no idea what that was. I have no idea what that was with Purdue. I get that their defense is outstanding. But that was ineptitude that Iowa knows well. Two big games, Minnesota and Nebraska. That's all you can say. I am proud of every single athlete, football player on that squad. And I hope that they do well, and I hope they go to a bowl game, and I hope they win as much as they can win. That doesn't mean that I like the simple fact that Brian Ferentz is still there. But that has nothing to do with me. That's me getting to talk on a radio show because I can talk on a radio show. I have my own problems with the team that I love to follow. And just a sidebar on Iowa sports, men's basketball team's playing really well. I thought that I didn't think they were going to have much a drop off, but I thought they might be better this year because Peyton Sanford's a year older. I think, and I've said it all along, and statistically he's not the best on the team, but I still say that team goes how Patrick McCaffrey goes. That's just me. That's how I see it. The Iowa women's team, Caitlin Clark twisted her ankle. Don't know how that's going to go. Don't know how that's going to be. In the two games that I've got to watch Iowa women play, my thought process on their season is they're a good basketball team, but they have to take care of the ball. They're very sloppy early this season and turnovers. K-State shouldn't even have been in that game with them last night. Turnovers just killed them. And end of game turnovers, end of game turnovers and end of game fouls. Here's a couple. If Caitlin Clark does not play when Iowa plays Iowa State, I don't think Iowa can beat Iowa State. If Caitlin Clark plays at 80%, it's going to be a really good game. And if Caitlin Clark was at 100%, they'd still have to show me that they can keep their turnovers down. I'm very curious to see how Iowa State keeps progressing in basketball before I talk about their football team. See how I've segued right out of that. I did see last night, I watched when I was flipping through the Texas, and Tyrese Hunter looked really good last night. They're going to miss his athleticism at points when they need a bucket. That I think he's even going to do a better job of this year because he is a year older. I have said since summer, before football, that I thought Taman Lipsey could come in and he could do to a certain extent what Tyrese Hunter did last year, except for probably play better, a little bit better defense. And I don't think he can score as much, but I think he'll be better with the ball. And he's played really well. Now, they haven't played anybody yet, so when they play somebody, we'll see how that is. The Iowa State women right now are really, really good. I mean, really, really good, as in really, really good that they could do some damage. They're fun to watch. It's a great. The Drake women are good. The UNI women are good. The UNI men are good. The Drake men are good. I mean, this is a basketball state this year, and thank goodness and I feel bad because Iowa still has, they have a legitimate shot of doing crazy good things still. They just got to win. They got to win tomorrow. Iowa State, let me click on here. They've got Texas Tech tomorrow. It's at 6:00. It's cold. That's one of those kudos to my buddy T. That's the reason that we have Souq Up tickets. So when it's 10 degrees outside, we can sit inside in a sweatshirt, have a beer, and watch a football game. When I asked Zach tonight what he thought about the Iowa State football program and where it's going to go, I do believe that's the biggest thing that they have to do. I think it's the biggest thing that the University of Iowa has to do, no matter, you know, I don't think it's as bad as what it was. And once again, thank goodness that some of these teams in the Big Ten weren't very good. And when I'm saying weren't very good, I mean, Northwestern, Wisconsin, I mean, those teams are bad. Purdue played horribly bad. I mean, I'm looking at this, and I'm just, we lost to Baylor by 7, probably shouldn't have. We lost to Kansas by 3, probably shouldn't have. We lost by 1 to K-State, by 3 to Texas. Oklahoma was 27-13. That was turnover related. West Virginia, we won. Oklahoma State last week, we just shot ourselves again and 5 turnovers. If you're playing good teams, you can't do what Iowa State's doing, and that's turning the ball over way too much. And when you're playing good teams, you can't do what Iowa was doing, which is not have an offense. It's just not possible. So you get Texas Tech and TCU. It's at TCU. That's a huge game. And with our defense, we're in every game. It's just it's the same. It may not be as score-worthy as the Iowa defense is, but yardage and stuff, there's not a lot of difference. The major difference between that Iowa Hawkeye team and winning football games and how this season is Cooper DeJean. Wow. It's been a long time that I've seen a punt return athlete like that. It's and you can tell Desmond Howard, Timmy Dwight, Deion Sanders, there's so many of them that they don't have to keep their eyeballs on the football getting into their hands before they decide where they're going to go. It's like they can sit and see where the people are, and they know they're right where they need to be. And at the last second, they can watch that football fall into their hands and make their moves. Because most people that I see that get punts like normal people don't do what he does. And he's a great athlete. He's not one of those guys that you go, that's the most elite athlete I've ever seen. He's just that guy. He's Tim Dwight. And I swear to you, they need to use him like they use. I mean, he needs to play some snaps. He needs to play snaps on offense. It's not going to hurt them if he plays snaps on offense. Iowa State, it's going to be, you know, you're going to lose some seniors. You're going to. And I had my son on earlier today, and he's an Iowa State alum, and we're big-time Iowa State people. The biggest thing that Coach Matt Campbell has to do is he has to make sure that that room, no matter how these last two games goes, that that room knows that they need to stick together, and they need to stay here, and they need to keep fighting, and it's going to get better. It's the law of averages. These games that we lost on last seconds or missed this or just that close, that stuff changes if you can continue to have that same eliteness in your thought process, your practice, and your game planning. It's going to be interesting to see if they can do that. And I'm hoping that they can. There's some other big games this weekend. Illinois-Michigan is a huge game. That was a incredibly bad loss by Illinois last week. This is my funny too with anytime that Paul Feinbaum and all those ESPN guys are talking about the SEC, this just drives me nuts that Alabama gets to play Austin Peay in Alabama on the next to last game of the season. That's just, that's junk. I don't like it. And I'm not, I can say it. Georgia plays Kentucky. I don't think Georgia's going to have any trouble with Kentucky. Kentucky can step up and they can play well. I'm trying to figure out, Ohio State has to go to Maryland. I'm trying to think, can Maryland give them a game? Can the Miami Hurricane go to Clemson and give them anything? Can South Carolina do anything with Tennessee? Can Ole Miss keep going even though they might have been able to win that game last week against Alabama and not lose a game to Arkansas? Then you have Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. Oklahoma loses this game. They're 5-6. Oklahoma State needs this game. If they have Sanders at quarterback, I don't think that's going to be an issue, even though it's in Oklahoma. And then you haven't had a Pac-12 game with these two teams mean anything for quite some time, but USC plays UCLA. This is a huge game for Chip Kelly at UCLA. They got him at home. I don't think there's a ton of difference in talent. I think it's going to be interesting to see. And then the last one is the other two teams, 8-2. They're 6-1 in the Pac-12, 6-1 in the Pac-12. UCLA's 5-2, and USC's 7-1, and that's Utah and Oregon. It's in Oregon. Whoever wins that game, that's a driver's seat game as well. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. B Styles coming in here. We got a lot to talk about. We got Bears. We got Vikings. We have Hawkeyes. A lot. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3champ.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Friday, second hour. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. This segment is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2022 and 2023, it's now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates, companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 334 jobs are open on their website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information, technology, and mortgage and banking. Keeping both staff and candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. They're there to help make it better, to make lives better for both candidates and clients and all involved. My next guest, he's Brendan Styles. He's at the B Styles on Twitter. B, are you staying warm, brother?
At the moment I am, and for those who aren't familiar, I live up in Minneapolis now, and yeah, I have plans on going to the game tomorrow. I'm just kind of mentally preparing myself for what's to come in terms of the weather, because here's what's crazy, Steen, is prior to today, it had basically been like in the high 20s, low 30s, what you would expect for November.
Right.
And it's supposed to be that way all of next week, even on Sunday. It's supposed to be back up in the 30s on Sunday. It's literally just today and tomorrow where the weather feels more like the middle of January than it does the week before Thanksgiving.
You've joked a little bit. I've joked a little bit. If I could take the under, I would be taking that.
Oh,
I will be taking the under for the game. Because
absolutely. I can't even believe it's 32.5, which that's a really low number as is, and one of the lowest, I believe, in the history of college football. But besides that, you're talking about the weather being below zero tomorrow. It's going to be one of those situations. both teams are going to, like, that ball's going to be like a rock.
Yeah.
And it's going to be one of those situations where, honestly, if I'm either team, Iowa or Minnesota, I'm running the ball as much as possible tomorrow and just, you know, using the clock and just, you know, making it a short game in a sense where it's like, not just even because of the weather, but because I feel like it can play to both team strengths where it's their defense. And it's just a matter of which defense can get off the field more often.
Yeah. It's going to be a crazy game and it's going to be fun, but it's such a meaningful game. With Illinois losing the way they did last week,
Play Michigan tomorrow.
They play Michigan. That's a loss. I mean, Iowa's.
And that means Iowa controls. It's simple. If they win tomorrow and then win again next Friday against Nebraska, they'd be back in the Big Ten championship, which that seems really hard to believe considering where we were a few weeks ago when we were talking about this team.
And it is. And I just talked about it in the last segment. And this has nothing to do. I mean, I want these guys to win. I want them to do as much as they have and they can. And I talked about Cooper DeJean, who is unbelievable. That game he played last weekend, without him, I don't know what that game is. But
you know, I have a friend back. I have a friend back in Iowa City that I grew up with who was making the comparisons last week to me. He was comparing him to Tim Dwight just in terms of the athleticism.
I did. I just did. I said it in the last segment that I watched Tim Dwight. He had as a punt returner. He always got yards because he didn't have to watch the ball come into his hands. He was watching everything else. And Cooper does the same thing. He gets yards when nobody else can. I've watched a lot of punt returns this year.
He's
amazing.
I'll say this. As a punt returner, I think that's a good comparison. I think for him as a defensive back, another player that he reminds me of, and obviously he's no longer with us, but Tyler Sash.
Yes.
In terms of being in the right spot at the right time, being able to make plays. To that defense, and like you saw the play he made last week against Wisconsin, and it really kind of changed the game because it seemed like Iowa had momentum from that point forward. And the other thing with Wisconsin was they basically got forced into having to throw the ball more than they probably wanted to, and I feel like it's going to be a similar game plan for the Hawkeyes tomorrow against Minnesota, especially if what I'm hearing is correct, that it's not going to be Tanner Morgan at quarterback. It's going to be their freshman who's been running the ball a lot. That would lead me to think, hey, you force him into some passing situations, and maybe that could lead to some turnovers.
I agree with that. And you know, it's gonna cover up the warts of that Iowa offense that, you know, everybody said, well, they've turned this around. No, they haven't.
They're playing 146 yards.
Yeah, they're playing teams that cannot score against your defense. I mean, Iowa should know that their offense could not score against their defense.
The weather aside, Minnesota does have a really good defense. It's not as good as Iowa's, but it's right up there in terms of, like, statistically speaking, in the Big Ten. So this is going to easily be one of those games where we always talk about how Iowa needs to get to 20 usually to win a game. They might only need to get to like 10 or 13. And that might honestly be enough for either one of these teams, frankly.
I agree with that. And it's such a big game and good for them. And that's what you do. It doesn't stop in the off season of them going, what are we going to do with the offense? Because we can't keep doing this. And I get you have recruits out there and they're like, well, this recruit's coming and that recruit's coming. Offensive recruits aren't going to come if they're not going to change that offense.
Right. And it's also one of those situations where they've been fortunate, as you were saying, they've been fortunate these last 3 weeks. They might very well be fortunate again tomorrow, and they'll probably beat Nebraska. Great. They get back to the Big Ten championship game. They're playing either Michigan or Ohio State. We've already seen the script against both of those teams.
Yeah.
So the question would be, if they do get to that point, how's that going to change from what you saw, you know, even a few weeks ago in Columbus or even earlier last month back in Iowa City when Michigan was in town?
What's the behind the scenes? And once again, we're talking to Brendan Stiles. He's at the B Stiles on Twitter. What's the behind the scenes of Caden Proctor going out to Oregon?
I think it was just him wanting to make a visit primarily, but that's also one of those situations where, you know, like the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Oregon is, okay, they have money because of Phil Knight and Nike.
Yep.
And that makes me kind of wonder, okay, is this something where the NIL is going to be a factor? You know, I'm not going to speak for them, obviously, one way or the other, but ideally, if you're Iowa, you got to do everything you can to hold on to him. And if it's something where he just made the visit and he still seems content with coming down to Iowa City, then great, all the more power to him. He got to make a weekend visit out to Eugene, you know. But if it does end up being more than that, then they got to get on that and they got to do everything they can to keep him on board, because that would be an absolutely monumental loss.
Yeah,
if they weren't able to hold on to him, they
need
to recruiting.
They need to boost up their NIL, and I think that's known. I mean, there are a lot of programs that need to do that, you know,
right.
A lot of, you know, and I'm sorry, but a lot of some of the older coaches are just like, yeah, it's a bigger deal than that. Mm-hmm. If you, from what you saw last night with Green Bay, I can't explain it, B. I cannot explain Green Bay this year. They're not that bad a football team, but boy, they look awesome.
Well, I think you could argue that they are that bad football team at this point.
I guess I agree with you. You just can't fathom that.
Well, I think it's because everybody, and this is everyone, like, you're so used to seeing them not only have success, but they have success primarily with Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And I think what's surprising in a sense is you saw a few years ago when they had a bad season and he played through it all, but that was also when Mike McCarthy got fired. There's nothing coming from up there that would lead anyone to think that Matt LaFleur's job is in jeopardy. So I think that adds to the surprise element, if you will. I think the other aspect of it, honestly, is what's going on up here in Minnesota. The fact that the Vikings have won 7 in a row, and it's already at a point for Green Bay where they're not only 4-7, but they have no hope of winning this division, you know. And you could say, obviously, you could say that about Chicago or Detroit, but to say that about them after the last few years, or I mean, they were just a one seed last year in the NFC, or even the last 2 years, I think it's just, you know, I think that speaks to the surprise element more than anything.
Yeah, and they play at your Bears still. Mm-hmm. They play at the Eagles. They play at the Bears. Then they have the Rams. They play at the Dolphins. They get the Vikings and the Lions.
They might go 3-3 at best.
Right, and I would if I was them, I wouldn't want to be playing the Bears right now. And the sad part for the Bears is that
they don't have a defense.
When they needed their defense, they traded him away, but they were doing it for the future because they know what they have, and they're like, listen, these two guys aren't going to get me what I need to be next year. We're going to keep working with Justin, and we're going to get him weapons, and we'll rebuild that. If I'm Green Bay, though, I don't want to face Justin Fields in Chicago.
Yeah, well, they will in early December, and hopefully that's a game that the Bears can win. Lord knows how many times they've played against Green Bay, and the Packers have just had their number. But that would be a game you'd like to see Justin Fields continue to do what he's been doing. But, you know, if I were to just stick on the Bears for a second here, that was frustrating to watch against Detroit because there were a couple of makeable plays that were just left on the field that, frankly, I understand in the long game you want to have a good pick. You want to it's all about the development. The wins and losses don't necessarily matter, but at the same time, you can't be losing to Detroit at home. That's a bad precedent. It's one thing if you're going to Ford Field and losing to them, because that may happen every once in a while. But when you lose to them at home, that's just like did that really just happen? Cause I heard that was the first time that was their first road win for Dan Campbell, but that was also the first time that they had faced a 14-point deficit in the fourth quarter and came back and won in almost 30 years. That's the sort of thing that's going to be the big concern, I think, going into next season is there's going to be some optimism just because of what Justin's provided, what the offense has been showing here over the last month. But is it going to get to a point where they could actually start winning? And I think that's where it comes down to what they're able to do in free agency and what they're able to do in the draft. And I think the defense is going to absolutely be a priority in both of those areas coming into the spring.
Yeah. And it's, I, I think, and I hear it a little bit in you, and I watch them, and they're getting to a point, if they continue down this road, I think they have a plan, and I like that, and I think they do, and mm-hmm. it's going to be an exciting offense because they, you know, and everybody's like, well, you know, you just don't know about Justin Fields. And it's the same way with Trevor Lawrence. Those two guys right. had horrible first-year coaching, horrible. And mm-hmm. now they're just coming out of it. You have no idea how good Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields is going to be because of their new staffs and new way of looking at how they are quarterbacks, because they're two transcendent quarterbacks because of their athletic ability and right. talent.
And, you know, as it pertains to this Sunday with them playing in Atlanta, I think it's a very similar thing to what I was just describing with Iowa, Minnesota. Now, granted, that game's going to be indoors. You don't have to worry about the weather. But those are two teams that the Bears and the Falcons, they both love to run the football. And it's going to be something where, you know, the points are going to come at a premium. So when Justin Fields is out there, can he make the most of those opportunities that he gets on Sunday? And if he can, maybe it's a chance for the Bears to actually win a game. If they can't, then it could lead to something where Atlanta just totally dominates time of possession and ends up winning big. So I think that that's probably the big thing to watch there, is just to see which run game gets more established in that, because whoever is able to establish their ground game is probably going to win that game on Sunday.
Once again, we're talking to Brendan Styles. He's at DB Styles on Twitter. The thing also up in Minneapolis, you know, mm-hmm. the people are all, well, it's still Kirk Cousins. And I'm so tired of hearing that, because the Kirk Cousins that all of them remember is the Kirk Cousins that had to put up with Mike Zimmer. And now mm-hmm. he doesn't do that. Kevin O'Connell puts him in situation. Now, would I have him on the half-yard line doing a quarterback sneak ever again? No. But
I didn't think that was a terrible call.
It wasn't.
But here's the thing, and I don't want to
really big.
There's a part of me that's still kind of skeptical, just because if Josh Allen literally holds on to the football, the game never goes over.
No, that's true.
But the other thing too, they play Dallas this Sunday up here, and I'll tell you right now, I wonder what the psyche is going to be, just in terms of the Cowboys coming off of that loss to Green Bay last week, coming back on the road, knowing, okay, you don't want that to happen again. If this offensive line, you mentioned that they struggled on a QB sneak there, what's going to happen when they have a guy who's going one-on-one against Micah Parsons?
Minnesota's going to run the ball. That's because Dallas can't stop the run.
Yeah,
it's bad. No, I agree. I don't want Micah Parsons on Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I don't want him one-on-one on somebody, but you got to run the ball at him. And
right.
I mean, he's like all the rest. They like sacking quarterbacks. They get paid to sack quarterbacks. They don't get paid to tackle people. And that's so funny. All right, got 20 seconds. Sure. Score Minnesota-Iowa game will be?
I'm saying Iowa wins 16-10.
Wow. There you go. And it's an under. That's under.
It'll be an under, yes.
So we're there.
It'll be under 32.5.
Enjoy your weekend. Stay warm. And we will talk on Wednesday because of the holiday. So I will talk to you next Wednesday.
Talk to you Wednesday, Steve.
All right. Have a good weekend. B Styles. He's the best. You are listening to Steve on Sports. You're listening to us giving you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. A little potpourri to end the week. Be right back.
Mahomes, but different, you drive different. So don't drive high. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Brewed in Des Moines. You're listening to Steve on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment on this Friday. Friday before Thanksgiving. Coming fast. My goodness. Where is time gone this year? It just seems like we were at the Iowa State Fair just a couple of weeks ago. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Facebook at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. You have UNI South Dakota, 12 o'clock pregame tomorrow. USC UCLA, 6:30 pregame tomorrow. Sunday, we have Browns, Bills, Cowboys, Vikings. Browns Bills is playing in Detroit because there's like 6 feet of snow in Buffalo. That's going to be interesting. And they play in Detroit on Thanksgiving, so I have no idea what all's going on. Very, very interesting. And people in Buffalo are upset because they're not playing the football game there, and they all want to go help. Where do you help get rid of 6 foot of snow in a stadium that seats 100,000 people? I have no idea. Cowboys-Vikings, huge game for the Vikings. Really, if they keep winning, that just keeps them in the driver's seats. Chiefs-Chargers, that's always a great game. It got flexed in, so that's awesome. Then Monday we have UNI-San Francisco. It's in the Men's Basketball Hall of Fame Classic. They also play on Tuesday, so we are off on Tuesday. 49ers-Cardinals, Monday night, 6:30 pregame as well. They're playing in Mexico City, so that'll be on a new turf, I do believe. We'll have to check that out when we watch it on TV. So next week, work Monday, off Tuesday, work Wednesday, off Thursday, Friday because of Thanksgiving. I think that hits everything. What else do I have? I have to thank the sponsors of the show, Heritage Building Maintenance, BetMGM, Come and Go, Northwest Bank, Women Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Palmer Group. There we go. Can't do the show without them. Want to thank Zach Steenblok and Brendan Stiles for coming in and giving us their thoughts on the up-and-coming week in sports, weekend in sports. Then we get some Thanksgiving and we get some football. You're going to have the college football playoffs. You're going to start really ramping. You're going to have – so you got two more weeks. Then you have your championship week, and then we're right in. Basketball starting up. Excited about that. You need to be – now, I have not seen any updates today on Caitlin Clark's ankle. That matters. Before that or how that goes, this is one of those years in this state that you have to pay attention to these – UNI, Iowa, Iowa State, and Drake. You have to pay attention to their basketball teams. I think it's going to be a very special year. Let's hope it's going to be a fantastic year. Okay. I wanted to go through a little potpourri to end this week. We talked about the snow. This is pretty crazy. Number 25 Utah women played number 16 Oklahoma last night in women's basketball. The Utah women dropped 124 points. Yes, you heard that correctly. 26-28, 41 in the third, and 29 in the fourth. That is ridiculous. I cannot believe that. this was Aaron Rodgers on the Packers' disappointing start. Look at our starting lineup. And this was from a while ago, right? I mean, and he said some names, and it's not disrespecting, but what are you expecting from that group? You expect us to win because I'm out there. He's not happy. He doesn't look like he's happy. He doesn't look like he's having fun. He doesn't look like he wants to be there. He doesn't talk like he wants to be there after the football games. He doesn't talk like he wants to be there during interview. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And one of the biggest things, I did not expect to see this today when it popped up, but the Cy-Hawk football rivalry has been extended through 2027. I thought that they would go through 2025 and that would be the end of it. So I'm excited that they're continuing that. And it's not going to be easy. Those are tough games. And you know, you're not going to have your easy scheduled games. There's just not enough time, and you need to be scheduling those games so you can get game times on your new TV contracts. Austin Eckler. This is part of my potpourri for the day. Austin Eckler has more catches this season than Devontae Adams, Travis Kelce, Mike Evans, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, and Amari Cooper. He has 67 catches. That's crazy. We did talk earlier this week, but I thought I would bring it up one more time. The Hy-Vee IndyCar weekend, July 22nd and 23rd of 2023 at the Iowa Speedway. Kerry Underwood and Kenny Chesney. Kerry Underwood before, Kenny Chesney after Saturday, the 22nd. Zach Brown Band before, Ed Sheeran after on Sunday, the 23rd. Wow. That's all I can say. Wow. This was a quote from Doug Peterson after the game Sunday against Kansas City. And he said, it's all starting to come together for Trevor Lawrence. He said Kansas City threw all kinds of different things at him. And in the past, it would frustrate him, and he had a hard time trying to figure out correct reads. And he goes, it's not an issue anymore. By the end of the season, if he gets to stay healthy and if their team is healthy, he thinks it's going to be a big deal. I would not – they have a lot of draft picks next year. And they already have a lot of talent. That's a football team that can go a long ways. Once again, one of the saddest stories this week was the shootings in Virginia at the University of Virginia. Their athletic director, Carla Williams. It is so shocking that you just want to love on our players. That's where we have spent all of our energy that we've done. That's how we've spent our time. That's the only thing that we can do, because there's no explaining how, why this happened. But we have to be there for those young athletes. It's incredible. It's incredible the damage that was done in such a short time within that football program. I don't understand Ticketmaster as well as everybody else does, I do believe. But whatever Ticketmaster did with Taylor Swift, I don't know how you can underestimate volume when it comes to Taylor Swift. I think she's a proven there is no way that you can think that you're not going to be overwhelmed with people trying to buy tickets to go see her concert. From everything that I heard, last night's concert with the Eagles, unbelievable. From day one, after losing Glenn Frey, the fact that you can get somebody with Vince Gill's talent, love, for music and playing music and singing music, that's a win. Glenn Frey is irreplaceable. But man, Vince Gill is good. I think that's what everybody was shocked. They're just like, I was not expecting it to be 3 hours of just perfection. And I hated that I missed, but going to Above and Beyond Cancer, you also need things in your life that enters into your soul and comes out and wants you to help people, and that's what happened to me last night. So as much as I wanted to be at that concert, going through and listening and seeing and just sitting back and just watching Above and Beyond Cancer last night, I mean, it changed me last night. It brought out things that I didn't know that I still had and wanted to do and need to do, and you get so busy that you just forget to do them, and I can't do that. One of the big things this week, Anthony Rizzo staying in pinstripes, Aaron Judge winning the MVP, Paul Goldschmidt winning the MVP at 30, I think he's 37. Who would have ever thought that? I'm going to leave this one out here. This came from Mr. Chad Taylor, who happens to be at this radio station. Your competition isn't other people. Your competition is your procrastination, ego, unhealthy food you're consuming, the knowledge you neglect, the negative behavior you're nurturing, and your lack of creativity. Compete against those and get them out of your life. Love that. Kind of had the same thing when I was there last night, thinking of all the things that I could be doing. You're listening to Steen on Sports. See you Monday. Here's a look.